So my name is Stefanos, or people call me Fon Rissa. I'm from McGill University in Montreal, and I'm going to be speaking to you about my master's thesis this morning. And it's based upon developing a novel hydroponic substrate, specifically for NFT hydroponic systems on either hemp or flax. So a little bit of background. As we know, one of the biggest challenges in hydroponic farming is the restricted root space. Whereas in a natural environment, plants can go out with the roots and search for nutrients or water, in a hydroponic system, it really is our job as a grower to bring these elements to the plant. So three factors we need to keep in mind is decreased buffer capacity. So when we look for a medium, I'm going to talk about the kind of idealized medium right now. I just want to make it clear that I'm talking about an NFT system. It'll differ for deep water culture, ebb and flow, fog ponic. All of them will have different attributes. We're talking about NFT right now. So in terms of decreased buffer capacity, we don't want something, for example, that has a very high cation exchange capacity that's going to lock up a lot of nutrients or drastically alter the pH. We want something that's fairly inert. We want something that's going to be able to meet the water demand of a plant. So it should retain water. Ideally, in an NFT system, of course, it should have quite good wicking capability as well, hydraulic connectivity. And then it seems kind of counterintuitive, but we also need to meet the oxygen demand. So while it should retain water, it should also drain well at the same time. Because as we know as growers, if a medium remains waterlogged and goes below 15 ppm O2, it's going to become anaerobic. We're going to have harmful metabolic waste products from the bacteria. So moving on. As we all know, it's kind of in all aspects of our life, there's a newfound, can we say, environmental or ecological awareness. We're becoming much more aware of mankind's impact on the environment, and this has spurred a lot of industries and scientific research to look up for more ecologically friendly alternatives for a lot of our established processes. So I had a company come to me that's been using Rockwool for a long time, and they were kind of sad that there's nothing being done about it. Doesn't look like anybody's really coming up with a plan to replace Rockwool, and they wanted to know if it's possible. So I started to look into this problem. And so the first criteria I had for developing a new media was it should be biodegradable. Of course, as we know, Rockwool is made from basalt rock, and it doesn't really biodegrade. It should also be harvested sustainably. So I want to say this is a very moot point, and I'm not choosing any side, but for instance, peat moss is something that's biodegradable, but some people will argue that it is not harvested sustainably. Furthermore, it should be produced from a local resource, because we have coca coir that's very popular, and that's biodegradable and is arguably sustainable as it's a value-added product or underutilized product, but again, it usually comes in huge ships, either from India or Mexico or Hawaii. And then finally, ideally, it should also be produced from an unutilized or underutilized resource. And so keeping these four criteria in mind, I was reading an article about the origins of Rockwool. The Danes invented it somewhere in the 60s, and they invented it actually not to grow plants, but as thermal insulation. And I know that right now we're creating thermal insulation from hemp, and so I thought maybe we could just create a medium with hemp insulation. I read it up about hemp. There's three other plants that have very similar fibers. That's jute, kenaf, and flax. Jute and kenaf doesn't grow in Canada. We don't grow a lot of hemp. We grow some hemp. We grow a lot of flax. I thought, well, I'll try to see if flax could be a possible alternative too. So just for those that are unsure, when I'm talking about fibers, I'm actually talking about the bast fibers. So here's a cross-sectional cut of a flax plant. In the center we have the pith, that's the xylem, followed by the phloem. That BF, that's the bast fibers, kind of wedged between the cortex and the phloem. So bast fibers are mainly composed of cellulose with a bit of lignin as well. It's hygroscopic, which means basically it absorbs moisture from the air. And it does not lock or trap air. It's not a hollow fiber. And that's why a lot of times when we talk about hemp clothing or linen clothing, we say it's cool fabric. It's cool to wear. So this kind of bodes well for what I said in the beginning. It should retain moisture, but it should also drain well. So this is the product that I received from a company called HempTrader. They're based in the United States. It's called the cottonized hemp because it has the lignin removed, so it's a very soft product. Hemp fibers, as we know, is exceptionally strong for a natural fiber. All the original sails and ropes on old ships were made from hemp. The etymological origin of the word canvas is actually cannabis. There's also been reports of the presence of beta-resorcyclic acid, which has mild antimicrobial activity, which, of course, as we know in hydroponic systems, as opposed to soil farming, we don't actually want too many microbes there. So this is the product I received from a company called Flaxstalk, also based in the States, in Canada. And when we compare flax fiber to hemp fiber, it's a kind of stiffer or crisper fiber, and it also has a higher lipid content. So obviously the first thing I tried to see is anyone else doing this with hemp fiber? And yes, there are people already creating microgreen mats with hemp fiber. This is produced by a company called Hempflax. They're based in the Netherlands. They're producing microgreen mats, and I also learned subsequently about another company called Advanced Nonwoven Technologies based in Denmark. So part B of my experiment I won't be discussing today because that hasn't really taken place yet, but I'll basically be characterizing the media as a horticultural medium in the lab. I'll be looking at physical properties such as saturated hydraulic conductivity, bulk density, porosity, etc. And also be looking at some chemical properties like the cation exchange capacity, the EC, the pH, etc. So part A, that's kind of the fun part where I get to grow stuff. This is what I'll be talking about today. And the kind of prelude to my full-on NFT trials was just a germination experiment. This is my germination experiment. The reason I do this is before I build a whole hydroponic system and go further, I want to make sure that there's not the presence of any compounds in the material that could be phytoinhibitory or retard germination, because if that is the case, I should find another thesis. So this was my little experimental setup. Very simple, as you can see. I had a seedling tray. I had 8 different kinds of media. I had rock wool and coco coir kind of as controls, and then I had hemp and flax. 3 different mixtures, 25%, 50%, and 75%. I would saturate this tray fully by placing it in the water for about 10 minutes. I'd seed it 1 seed per cell of Lactuga sativa lettuce variety Buttercrunch. Place a humidity dome over it, put it in the grow chamber, and every day count the amount of seeds that germinated. So the 2 metrics that I were interested in is, first of all, mean germination time, which is basically the average time it took each seed to germinate. I just count how many seeds germinated and weighed by the amount that germinated, and the total germination frequency, which is a fancy way of saying how many of the seeds actually germinated. So these are the results for my total germination frequency. As you can see, I had very good uniform germination throughout. Nowhere was it even below 80%, and there was no statistically significant difference between rock wool, coco coir, flax 25, hemp 25%. Admittedly, when we look at these 2 treatments, the majority of it is still coco coir, but my hemp 75, also no statistically significant difference. So I'd say it's statistically probable that there aren't any phytoinhibitory compounds within the medium. When I look at the mean germination time, just bear in mind here, a lower result is a better result because it basically means it was quicker to germinate. So I'm looking for the lowest result. Again, there was no huge difference, but there was no statistically significant difference between rock wool, coco coir, my flax 25, and all 3 hemp treatments. So I'd say it's statistically probable that there are no compounds in flax or hemp that would retard germination. So now we're going to move on to my NFT trials. This is a little CAD drawing of the system I developed. Of course, in any experiment like this, it's imperative to keep different reservoirs for the different treatments. You don't want your water mixing. These are some of the parameters that are maintained in our greenhouse. And half-strength Hoagland solution would probably have an EC of about 1.2 to 1.4 millisiemens per centimeter. Now, unfortunately, I only harvest and quantify my data day 28, and last Friday was day 14, so the best I have to offer you at this point is some photos, and we can kind of chat about it a bit. So these are the results on day 14. We can go through them quickly. This is my rock wool, flax, pure flax 50%, pure hemp hemp 75% and hemp 50%. It's my assistant, my wife, helping me. So if you jump a little bit, we can just talk about it quickly. So on the left, as we can see, rock wool seems to be doing the best. It seems to be the largest. But it is followed quite closely by the hemp 50% and the hemp 75% and the hemp 50%. Although I did see slightly more discoloration there. I think it might have been a pH issue. The pH seemed to creep up quite a lot with the hemp, which was kind of surprising. As we know in hydroponic systems, once the pH goes too high, ammonium converts to ammonia, which is very toxic to plants. Another thing, as you guys can see, the flax performed very poorly. They only turned into little yellow seedlings, and they didn't actually grow anymore. I have two possible hypotheses for these. The first one is that because of the higher lipid content, the hydraulic connectivity was actually poor, and not enough moisture was reaching the plant roots. And another thing is that there was seemed to be a lot of biological activity in these. My system would quickly be overgrown with all kind of slime and biofilms and things of this nature. These little spaghetti drippers that enter my channel, I had to blow them out about every second day just to kind of unclog them. I want to mention at this point that I don't believe this is a property that's inherent to flax versus hemp, but rather just reflects the varying quality of the two products I received from the two different companies. The hemp fiber I received was a much, much more refined kind of product. So just I want to present you guys with some interesting anecdotal evidence. As I mentioned, the flax seemed to have very high biological activity. It was kind of a lucky packet. Every little net pot had either a pink or a brown or a black kind of something weird growing out of it. It also had some algae. And anyone that grows with rock wool knows rock wool. Algae loves rock wool. And the hemp by day 14 had no signs of any scum or algae, which I thought was quite positive because, as we know, when algae grows in our system, they rob the plants of the nutrients, right? So just in summary, I'm still very positive about this, and the main reason I think the rock will perform better at this stage is because it's a much more consistent or homogeneous product. It's actually produced, whereas the flax fiber, it was me basically taking it, kind of figuring out what density I wanted and stuffing it in. So of course there is some inconsistencies with this, but I have met with a producer at the beginning of July, and they're going to provide me with actual hemp insulation, which I will be using from now on. So I think it could lead to a good product, especially for the North American market. And what excites me is to help farmers create value-added product. Of course, you'll say, well, hemp fiber is already being utilized for stuff like biocomposites and thermal insulation. That's true, except when we are growing seed cultivars. Usually it's not worth harvesting those hemp fibers, and they usually just live to rot in the field. And so we could actually create a novel market, a hydroponic medium market with those fibers. Then perhaps I can just mention another thing I've thought of at this point, of course, is issues with longevity. You may say that, of course, hemp fibers, it will decay very quickly. So at the moment, we're focused on microgreens and a very short-term crop, as in lettuce. I have ever learned of an industrial process that's used to turn softwoods into hardwoods called acetylation, basically. And I believe, so it basically changes the structure of cellulose, so it's much more resistant to decay. So that is another possible avenue of research if we ever wanted something that's specifically for viney crops that need a longer lifetime. My references. My supervisors, my helpers, my industrial backer, Urban Barnes, and NSERC for funding. Thank you guys very much. Take questions at this point. Yes. Okay, so the question was if I'm going to use hemp that's developed as insulation for the construction industry, would it perhaps have some kind of anti-flammable component to it? Possibly the ones that you would buy as a commercial hemp insulation could have that, but I met with the person that is producing it, and he is keen to develop this as a hydroponic medium, so he will specifically be providing me with actually varying composites of its mixtures of flax and hemp, and I'm sure he knows that we shouldn't have any chemicals added to it if we're going to be growing plants with it. Thank you
so much.